Welcome to the First Love Podcast of First Presbyterian Church, Jacksonville, Illinois, with Reverend Jonathan Warren, October 13th. Today's sermon title is Give Thanks.
Our scripture lesson comes to us from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. Let us listen to the word of God this morning. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of the Lord. You know how sometimes nothing seems to go right and you feel so sorry for yourself, and then you meet somebody who's got it way worse. John Kralik, in the first 10 pages of his book, shares how his life was a disaster. He's miserable, broke, overweight, and on his second divorce. He lived in a crummy apartment in LA with no air conditioning. He was an attorney, but he couldn't afford to pay his employees their Christmas bonuses because his clients weren't paying their bills on time and sometimes not paying them at all. Now, sometimes it's easy to complain about our life until we have somebody else's to compare to. The most interesting part of it all is John Kralik's book that he wrote is entitled A Simple Act of Gratitude. How could someone so miserable write a story about gratitude? We'll find out more about the book in a little bit, but first I want to dive into our scripture reading about these 10 lepers. Leprosy is a debilitating and infectious disease causing severe, disfiguring skin sores, nerve damage around the entire body. Now today, we know that leprosy isn't as contagious as it once was thought. You can only catch it if you come into close and repeated contact with nose and mouth droplets from someone with untreated leprosy. But in Jesus' time, leprosy had quite a negative stigma, a fear surrounding it. In fact, it was thought even to cross the shadow of someone with leprosy was to risk infection. People with leprosy were shunned as outcasts, completely cut off from the community, banished from their homes, from the loving touch of spouses, of children, or parents. And the faith community and culture set strict guidelines, removing them from corporate worship, requiring them to shout, "Unclean, unclean," as somebody approached them. All this to keep everyone else safe. So lepers often banded together, creating a small company of misery. Now, it's hard to understand the social isolation, the alienation, the humiliation of what these shunned outcasts felt. Today, probably the best modern comparison is AIDS in the 1980s. So when Jesus enters this village, 10 lepers approach him. They're required to keep their distance. They're a band of outcasts, and they desperately cry out to Jesus, asking him to have mercy on them. And he does. And he tells them to go show themselves to the priests. As they go, these 10 people were healed. So the priests restore them, and now they're no longer shunned as outcasts. Now, there's more at stake in this healing than a run-of-the-mill disease. It provides not only physical healing, but it also gives these 10 people renewal, reconciliation, restoration. No longer do they have to keep their distance or call out unclean. They don't have to be outcasts. They can now rejoin their families and their community and the temple. Now, if you all experienced a life-altering miracle like this, what would you do? How would you respond? For years, I've been concerned about how people these days lack manners and common courtesies. But then we hear a Bible story like this and discover things might not have really changed that much. According to our scripture reading today, only 1 out of every 10 people are willing to show appreciation. If only 10% of lepers miraculously healed are willing to share gratitude, then maybe the world today actually isn't getting worse. However, I do think the reason this story is in Scripture is because Jesus is trying to tell us something important. This is how Jesus responds when the one leper returns. Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." Jesus is telling us that gratitude and faith, they're connected. Gratitude is essential in our faith. Remember John Kralik, whose life was miserable. Now, soon after not giving his employees the Christmas bonuses, he had an epiphany while hiking in the hills of L.A. on New Year's Day. His New Year's resolution was to write a thank you note each day for the next year. He wanted to find a reason to be thankful and grateful every single day. Now, it was a great idea, but it didn't start off very well. It didn't start off until January 6th, when he finally wrote a thank you note to his son. He wrote a thank you note for the coffee maker that his son had bought him. After receiving the thank you note, it rekindled his relationship with his son. One little note. In fact, writing thank you notes changed his entire life. After the year of thank you cards, he published a book entitled A Simple Act of Gratitude. And John's book caught on fire. He's written and received over 4,000 thank you notes. Now, the truth is, gratitude is such an essential part of our faith. We see it in Scripture, in our prayers, in our theology. Psalm 136:1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." Every time we share communion, we say these words, "Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise." In question 86 of the Heidelberg Catechism, it says, "It is our Christian duty to show ourselves grateful to God with our whole life for God's goodness." Many months ago, a church member was in the hospital, and I was in the waiting room talking with his family and friends. And one of his friends told me about a time that he'd been really sick. He'd received cards and letters of how much he was impacting these folks. And a few of the cards were unexpected. These cards told about the impact he made during other people's difficult times. Finally, he came home from the hospital and he shared these cards with his wife and children. And he told them this, "These letters, these cards, they're not for me. I want to give them to you. All those nights I had to work late, all those times I couldn't be home, these cards and letters are for you. You made this impact." Those were the notes his family treasured the most. A few other special thank you notes shared in Reader's Digest, a mother opening her daughter's empty lunchbox, and a small scrap of paper floats out. It says, "Mom, thanks for making me a yummy lunch." Nina's 8-year-old deliberately planned this note. She held on to the thought through recess, wrote it as soon as she got back to class, and remembered to put it in her lunchbox. She never got a note like this ever again. In the last 10 years of making lunches, if she ever complained about it, after this note, she never would again. Nina was grateful that she gets to make these lunches and for a lesson on appreciating the tiniest of things. Michael shares a coworker's heartwarming email after he was laid off. It said, "Thank you for giving me a chance way back when. This position got me off state assistance, paid for my car, and has blessed me and my son in so many ways. You've been amazing, mentor and friend, Mike, the best. I've learned so much, and not just about pest control, to speak up for myself, to be less emotional when things go wrong, to have patience with myself and others. Thank you for being so incredibly patient with me, my thousands of questions and mistakes. It has helped my confidence in so many ways. Thank you. Thank you." It was humbling for Michael to know that he had this kind of impact on someone's life by just being himself, by just doing his job. Jesus tells us through this one leper returning and giving thanks that gratitude is essential in our faith. So that's our challenge this week, this month. Find a way to say thank you to somebody. Friends, family, teachers, church family. Even people who have since died, you can still write a note. There have been countless people who have inspired, mentored, changed us. Sometimes even the difficult people, the bullies who have changed us for the better. God's put countless people in our lives. Have we given thanks? Should we give thanks? That's why I added a card, an envelope, in your bulletin. So your homework assignment is to write a thank you note this week. Who are you going to write this letter to? I know it's just a note, but this is tied to our faith. To pause and give thanks. To give gratitude. In Diana Butler Bass's book entitled Grateful, she shares a story about Methodist pastor Jason Michelli. Jason, a 40-something father with young children, was preaching for the first time in nearly a year. He was better. The cancer was controlled, but he would have to do chemotherapy every 2 months for the rest of his life. Today, he stood in the pulpit, barely out of treatment, and he began saying this, "You all have done so much for us. You have fed us and prayed for us and with us. You've helped us with my medical bills. You've sat with me in the hospital. You were there to catch me when I passed out in the chemo room. You didn't bat an eye when I puked in your car." But he said as much as he appreciated it, he actually hated all that help. "I've always been awful at receiving help, gifts. I hate feeling that I'm indebted to somebody else. I was a guy who kept score, which means I didn't mind you being in my debt, I just didn't want to be in yours." But he learned something. Gratitude is not about repayment of debts. It is about relationships. And through this cancer, Jason discovered that courage and hope could not be summoned magically. Rather, strength and healing came through community. He spoke of the church's greatest gift to his family in this crisis. "We can endure all things because you have been with us. You're with us. More so than all the stuff you've done for us, you've been with us." It was kind of you to share my nightmare, he says. It was kind of you to share my pain and suffering. It was kind of you to share in Allie's worry and my boy's fears and anxiety. It was kind of you to make my cancer our cancer. Yours too. Thank you for being with me. Don't let thanksgiving and gratitude slip through your fingers. Be the one out of 10 to share gratitude. It's about relationships. It's about our faith. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.